gentlemen.
This is a desktop movie.
Okay, wait for it. I've been thinking about this for a long time.
Oh no! Brandon!
Oh no, what?
I'm panicking.
Oh no. Well, what town are you in?
I'm not gonna dox myself on the internet, Brandon.
Oh, fair. That's fair. That's fair. I did like you said that you've been preparing this for a very long time. Was it the oh no impression or the entirety of the intro?
Just a little column A, a little column B.
Okay, gotcha. I liked it. It was good.
Thank you.
Hey, Nikki, how are you doing?
I have the chewiest boba in the world in my mouth right now.
The chewiest boba.
Like, I love boba.
Yeah.
But this one's really hard to chew. I don't know if maybe it's overcooked or undercooked, or I don't know. It's not bad. It's just way louder than I thought it would be.
It's not the auditory boba that you had hoped it would be.
Yeah, pretty much. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm sitting here with a nearly finished Diet Dr. Pepper, so you know that life is going pretty well.
You know? I was gonna get a Diet Dr. Pepper, but then I got boba instead.
That's that famous, that's that rap song, right? I was gonna get Diet Dr. Pepper, but then I got boba. Mm.
Can you hear the sirens?
I can hear the sirens. They're coming for your overly hard boba, is what I think.
I think they're coming for whoever stole horse's walls.
Oh no.
Spoiler. Oh no.
I'm really glad that you've latched onto that as well. Welcome to 2D or Not 2D. It's a monthly animated podcast where we watch
animated movie podcast.
Animated movie.
This podcast is not animated.
I mean, we get pretty animated, I think.
That's true. But we are not 2D animations.
That's true. So we are not.
This is not a visual medium at all, actually.
Actually, yeah, you know what? It is not. But we get animated with our voice. This is.
Yes. We're both really tired.
We're exhausted. It has been a very long 26 years.
yeah.
No, it's been a long week. It's been, but you know what? We're here and I'm excited to be here. You know, it's funny. For the month of November, we watched A Town Called Panic. I'm very excited to talk about it. Very nervous to try and run through the plot, but I think we can do it.
See, here's the thing. I was going to say, I'm so excited about this because this was your pick. So you get to try to run through the plot.
Okay. Yeah, I got it. I'm excited.
Like the whole time I was watching this, I was like, there's no way. I cannot run through this plot. I give up. Brandon's going to have to do it.
I got some practice in because I recently watched Labyrinth for the first time. And then.
What?
Yeah. And I loved it. I had never seen it.
Good. Oh, it's the best.
It was really good. But Donna, beforehand, my partner Donna, she told me, she was like, this is kind of like known for people not remembering certain scenes of the movie. And I was like, psh, because I like remembering things from movies. It's one of my favorite things to do. That's why why I'm on several podcasts talking about it. But Labyrinth was challenging. So anyway, I'm just saying I feel pretty prepared to talk about a nonsensical story thanks to Labyrinth.
That's fair. I believe you can do it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, let's just go. Then I'll just go ahead and go into this dang thing. Yeah, I picked A Town Called Panic, and God darn it, I loved it. I talked. Yeah, we'll get into that later. But mentally, I'm putting it off, I think, is what it is.
No, did
Sometimes I can't remember what we talked about on the podcast and what we talked about in real life, because if you guys didn't know, we're best friends and we talk a lot. Mm-hmm. Have you explained why you chose this movie? Because I thought it was interesting why you chose it.
Oh, yeah. For a couple of things as to made me choose this. I remember seeing it, like, I think around when it came out, like the trailer for it, pardon me, not seeing the movie. being like, kind of cool, but, you know, then what have you. And then I guess you're talking about the YMS movies. Yeah, okay. So yeah, there's a YouTuber that I enjoy watching, YMS, Your Movies Suck, which he didn't think this one sucked. And I didn't realize till after, he said it was one of his favorite movies, I think, of 2009. I didn't realize till afterwards that it was like, oh, that's why it was fresh in my memory when I was looking at animated movies to watch for this month. So it's kind of one of those in the back of my brain type of things that made its way into reality. And I'm very glad. I'm very glad.
Yes, me as well, because this is definitely something I never would have watched without this podcast.
So basically here's what happens. it's a stop motion animation where they use toy figurines for all the figurines for the film. And
it's Belgian.
Yes,
it right, is. Yeah, so it's in Belgium.
Correct. And you that's the version you watched as well?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I used your login to watch this one, so we definitely watched the same one.
Nice. It was, yes, that's cool, because I'm glad we had the same voices for this one, because I love the voices I've heard. Anyway, so there are three main characters that this kind of revolves around, and it is a cowboy, horse, and Indian. And it is Horse's birthday. Again, this is a very absurd story, so it's exactly as absurd as it sounds. And Cowboy and Indian have forgotten that it is Horse's birthday, so they send him off in a distraction, and they order him. They decide to get him for his birthday. They want to build him a barbecue pit. And to do this, they need 50 bricks. Well, they accidentally order 50 million bricks. And
wah, wah.
Oh no. And then they have to hide them before Horse gets back. Fortunately, Horse,
because they know he's gonna be mad.
They know he's gonna be mad. He got delayed, fortunately, coming home because of all the, you know, bricks are being delivered.
All the trucks of bricks.
So they, Cowboy and Indian, end up hiding all the bricks on top of their house. I gotta get through
some,
it.
I know.
Actually, no. Do you want to make some pit stops while we? Because like, I don't have a lot of extra stuff to talk about. I did look up a handful of things to talk about, but I don't have like a ton. So yeah, okay. If you want to stop, let's just stop on this journey as we go.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna say there's a lot of different legs of this story, and like this is like the first leg of the story. Mm-hmm. And so. They're in a panic to try to hide all these bricks, town called Panic. and when Horse gets home, they've hidden all the bricks and they have like a surprise birthday party for him. But Cowboy and Indian are like asleep the whole time.
It's so cute. They're so exhausted.
They have their little like shoulders slumped over, their heads are hanging down, and they're like, around the birthday cake. They're like playing poker, but they're just asleep the whole time. And meanwhile, there's like random bricks like falling just like in the background of the scenes, which I just thought was like an excellent little detail. And so I just wanted to point those two details out, that like they were exhausted and bricks were like falling randomly.
And also Horse is in love with the piano teacher in town. The one and only Madame Longre. So that was probably my favorite. It was, we actually had to watch that part together, but when Horse just starts clomping on the piano, good.
So his distraction was that he had to go pick up like the farmer next door's animals from music school. And he's like, well, of course I'll do it because I love Mrs. Longre, or Miss Longre, Madame Longre. So I'm going to go do that. He like had just gotten out of the shower, but he took another shower to go
See, I'm thinking this is a horse in like a clawfoot.
Yeah, like bathtub. A literal horse, not
a
like
literal a, horse,
not a BoJack Horseman style horse. Like a, this is just a horse,
just a horse. So he comes to pick them up, and one of the farm animals is like, "Oh, like yeah, sure, we're good, but horse is really good. Like he's really good." And so Madame Longgrave is like, "Oh, well, play something for me." And so there's a horse piano, which the keys are just like on the ground so that they can play it, which I just thought was beautiful. And he just stomps the heck out of that piano. And he it's does. Like, wah, 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 wah.
And she's like, it's bad. That was horrible.
Yeah, she's like, that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
All these bricks are on top of their house, and it ends up crushing and destroying their house and kind
just
of
smooshing it.
Kind of the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so Horace is upset for a minute, but then he's like, okay, well, we just got to rebuild everything. So
yeah, we've got plenty of bricks. So
they end up having like to rebuild it three times because every night they wake up and their walls have been stolen.
They're just gone.
They're just gone. And they finally track down who has stolen the walls. And it's these pointy headed individuals
in scuba outfits.
Yes. The description here says they discover a parallel underwater universe where pointy-headed and dishonest creatures live.
I mean, that's interesting. I never thought of it as a parallel universe.
Well, I guess it is directly underneath them, kind of like Shadow World style.
Like literally parallel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was just like, I was like, it's just the people that live under the water is all.
But they chase these pointy-headed people back, and they accidentally end up falling through the center of the earth, basically.
Oh, my gosh. This was another really good one, was that they're, like, falling on this, like, bed of rock. It's just a big old boulder, and they're just falling on it, and it just keeps going because it's going to the center of the earth. So at some point, it cuts back to them, and they're all just playing poker. And they're like, huh, I wonder when we'll reach the bottom.
Oh man, and they do finally wedge the rock that's falling in place, and then that's when they crawl up to the North Pole.
It's like right above the core is where it wedges.
Right, that's right.
And they think Cowboy's fallen in.
Yeah, and there's a big dramatic scene.
Mm-hmm.
Before they find him.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine.
Of course, I guess it'd be the South Pole that they crawl up towards. I don't really know. They crawl up to an Arctic region, and they are picked up by a giant robot
penguin.
Giant robot penguin.
Yeah,
that is
scooped
up, and this this giant giant robot penguin is run by these mad scientists who are just these cruel scientists that just throw snowballs at random
giant
snowballs at random people throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. And they don't talk. They just grumble.
Yeah. And then they like imprison Cowboy, Indian, and Horse.
In one of the pointy-headed.
In one of the pointy-headed people. That's right.
Oh, he had a name, but I can't remember what. It was like Jerome or something.
Oh, I think you're right. But so they have to break out of that, which ends up sending them to the ocean because the Jerome, tentatively named, it was Moten. I don't know. Whatever the pointy-headed guy's name was, he sends them to the ocean so he can return to his family. So they're afloat on this ocean, in this ocean on a snowball that eventually melts. And then they go to the bottom of the ocean and then they find their walls and have to steal them back from the pointy headed people. And they end up being able to get back to their village by going through a puddle in the ground of the ocean. That's also the parallel of the ground of the town.
Yes.
But they end up, all of the bricks, all the 50 million bricks end up shooting through the hole and filling the ocean and counterbalancing the water so that it displaces the water and floods the whole village. And Is that it? I think that's how it. They rebuild the village.
And well, there's like a fight. So the pointy-headed people from the parallel universe, they come up to try to take the walls back, right. And they end up like moving into the farm.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And like trying to keep them out of the farm, Farmer Steve or something, and they just kind of have this epic battle where they're like launching cows at them and
just like Labyrinth. Just,
yeah, there's like there's like barracudas, I think, at one point. Oh, like yeah. It's a pretty epic fight.
It's pretty epic. But wait, but then how does it end? I don't remember how it ends.
It ends with I know how it ends. I'm trying to think of how the fight ends.
Well, I think the fight ends with the water displacement.
Yeah, I think so.
It's been a minute since I saw this movie. And again, a lot has happened in the last couple of weeks in our lives.
Yes. I wish I could remember.
Kind of pull it up real quick.
There's also the pointy-headed like underwater people. They keep making giant waffles. Like, they just keep showing them making giant, like, when they move into the farm, they, like, immediately have made a pile of giant waffles, which was also what they were doing underground.
So, yeah, the town floods, and then they just kind of reach an agreement. Oh, I forgot that all of the noises that I'm broadcasting are being picked up. That's fine. And then they have a big musical number at the end. And everybody lives happily ever after.
Well, at the end, they flash forward to Horace's next birthday.
Oh, that's right, because it's been a year.
Yeah.
Okay, that's, yes. And go
the
ahead.
The two universes have, they're living in harmony now. They trick Horace into going underwater to stop a fire at the department store that's underwater.
That's
and it's really a surprise birthday party.
That's right. Thank you. Okay.
That's how it ends.
This movie was a trip. I absolutely adored this. I've had to, like, anytime anybody has asked me since I watched this movie, like, what I've been watching recently, this is the first thing that comes to mind. And I mean, like, albeit now it sounds like I couldn't remember how it ended. I need to watch it again, and I would love to watch it again because I very much enjoyed it. And
I think it's definitely something that's worth multiple watches just because there's so much that happens.
Right.
Like you said, it's like the Labyrinth. Like, you're going to watch it and you're going to be like, I don't remember this part at all. You're going to pick up on different things.
You can play a game that I like to play. I started to play while I was watching Labyrinth, which was after anything that would happen, just say to yourself, of course. Yeah, of course that would happen.
Of course that'd be the next thing.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Okay, yeah, no. Okay, so the horse and the cowboy and the Indian now have to travel through the center of the earth. Yeah, of course. Of course that's
there's also
happen.
A part where they fought a bear.
They fought a bear. Of course they did. Like,
of
yeah.
course they fought a bear.
But I loved this. I thought it was great. I really want to watch. They put out a sequel in 2017.
What?
Yeah, it's like a... I think it's literally just A Town Called Panic part two. And I don't know. I would very much like to watch that. And there's also, it's based on a series of shorts made by the same, not pants, but you know, not full length movies. And sorry. so they were actually approached by Nickelodeon to make a second series. And they ended up turning it down to make this movie.
Interesting. They're too cool for school?
Well, I tried to do some research on this, and it's weird.
I didn't do any research. I was like, I want this to live exactly how it does in my head, and I don't want to know anything else about it.
Well, lucky for you, there is not very much additional information to be found. It is... widely loved, but not
deservedly so.
Yeah, and it's not like mainstream staple or anything like that. But it has a kind of a cult following, both the original series and these movies. But it's so interesting because the two directors that are majorly behind this, whose names are, of course, Stéphane Aubrier and Vincent Pittard. They went on to make, they also voice a number of the characters in this, but they went on to make a couple of other animated movies that I'm pretty certain we will get to at some point. Like, I feel...
Yes.
Ernest and Celestine. It's with the bear and the mouse. Probably, maybe. I don't know. It was on the... it was nominated for Best Picture animated thing, I think, at one point. For the Oscars, I should say, specifically. but I tried...
nominated for something.
No big deal. I tried to find any interview I could with the directors, and I could not find anything that was in English or even translated that I could find. But the closest thing I could find was an Q&A that one of the producers did. I'll pull up his name. But he gave a really kind of interesting interview. He was at, I want to say it was like, it wasn't Cannes, but it was another big film festival. And he came out and he was like, he started the interview with being like, I just want you all to know, I've had a couple of beers, and just watch this thing again. And I'm really sick of watching it. Vincent, Tavier,
I can't imagine. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good.
Claymation is such, like, for lack of a better term, like a time sink. I cannot imagine how the people who make this movie would probably be so freaking sick of it. Like,
so it's totally actually, it's so weird. Because yes, like, absolutely. But again, this was just the producer guy, so he didn't actually, like, direct. I think he did.
Oh, okay.
But he's apparently pretty close with the directors. But one thing that he said was, like, and I read interviews with the directors, and they said the same thing. People were like, so this had to take, like, a really long time. And they were like, no, not really. and when they were asked, like, was this, like, was it a challenge? They would be like, no, it was actually really pretty easy. It took us 14 months, which is... They were like, which is like no time in animating time.
Yeah.
So like what you said is absolutely correct. But weirdly, this is the only time I've ever heard directors be like, no, it wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
They were like, the producer in his interview was more or less like frustrated because he's like, yeah, with the short films, we could kind of like knock one out in a day or two.
What?
And we could do, they said they could do a minute a day, basically, is how much filming they could do.
Okay.
But they had 1,500 figurines that they used throughout the movie. The character that had to have the most variations was horse.
Of course.
Yeah, with all.
I'm so sorry. Can I just jump in, please, and tell you my favorite scene of the movie?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a point where I think Horace is unconscious for some reason. I can't remember he was just dreaming. He was asleep. Also, he sleeps standing up like a horse does, but he like pushes his pillow against the wall and just like leans his head against it. And it's the cutest thing in the world. But he dreams about just like ballroom dancing with Madame Longray. And it's just this beautiful scene where these horses are suddenly bipedal in like proper form ballroom dancing. And I just can't imagine like the care and attention that went into claymating that.
Yeah. And I guess largely what they did is not actual claymation. They did kind of the stop between that like South Park. They reference South Park a lot, actually, as like a huge inspiration for them, but like they just had the couple of figurines and then just stop motion picture by picture thing instead of actually, I guess, taking the time to make, I mean, I'm sure they made some, I don't know, but like, it was just interesting. They were so against the it being a challenge for them. They're like, yeah, it's fine. Like, we'll do something else next. I don't know.
Yeah. Cause I mean, as like awesome as this movie was, it was very like, it looked like beat up toys.
Robot Chicken. Like, yeah, I mean.
it wasn't like a Coraline Nightmare Before Christmas, like super detailed. It's like very clearly old, badly produced figurines kind of thing. Like no. Those cheap, like you buy a whole like 100 pack of Army Men kind of vibes.
Exactly. That's that. I don't think there's a better. Yeah. Army Men. I mean, like that generation and just style of toy, that it's such a all one piece. Oh, and also too, in an interview I read, they asked why they didn't take off the bases, and their response was they thought it was funny.
I think it's very funny.
It's great, but that was, they did not elaborate. They were just like, yeah, we thought that was pretty funny. It was pretty, thought it'd be funny if we kept the bases on. Because yeah, like, and it's weird because again, I guess they were pretty tight with their producers, which makes sense. This is probably kind of a small funded, but like, you know, whatever. But they, somebody asked about why, like, do they, as Belgians, know that there is a history between cowboys and Indians here in the States? And like, did that come up like in your thought process for choosing these characters? And again, they were like, he was like, no, I just thought it was funny. They just thought, like, I don't know why they picked that, but they went to toy stores and they just kept seeing the same toy of cowboy, Indian, and a horse. And so they're like, well, we'll make that.
Well, that's easy and accessible.
Exactly.
And well, I also thought it was kind of, because of that like cultural aspect of it, it was kind of funny to see cowboy, Indian, and horse all living in a house together, like being roommates and caring for each other, because the stereotype is like cowboy versus Indian.
Right.
So it's like, oh, like their beds were right next to each other and they did everything together.
They were the bestest of friends until they fought.
They did kind of have that whole like, I'm the alpha, no, I'm the alpha dynamic going on, which was very fun.
But they also helped each other out a lot. They were. Yeah. Like, I just, like, when they were on the computer, and is it Cowboy? I think it's Cowboy who starts on the computer to order the bricks, and Indian goes to get him coffee.
Other way around.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, Cowboy goes to get him coffee. And I just love what bits they let to play out. Like, they had a full scene of him, like, a full shot of him drinking the coffee and setting it down, and... Oh my gosh. I also, the farmer. Farmer was probably one of my favorite characters.
Farmer Steve.
Who just would shout everything.
Yeah, everything. He was yelling all the time.
Oh God.
There's a scene where his wife, that I can't think of her name, makes him breakfast, and it's like a full-size person piece of toast and like a full-size person cup of coffee, and he eats the whole thing, and then he jumps into the coffee and he drinks it all up and like breaks the cup and then leaves. He's like, thank you! Like...
Oh man, it's such like, it's something that I know I will go back to just because it's such a visual, like you can kind of just let it happen, and it just happens. Everything that's going to happen in this movie is just going to happen. You just kind of let it wash over you.
Yeah, well, so I'll say this, and also we can cut this out if you don't want to mention this, but we started watching this together and we were under the influence, and we watched the first 10 minutes before our hotel internet crapped out, and boy was that just a trip. I was like, I don't know if I can do this under these conditions, man. But I think it'd be one of those like perfect movies to do that with.
No I agree. I mean, but it's so strange because there's like a childlike wonder to it, that it's not weird in terms of like that, like stoner sense of humor, kind of like weird, where it follows a very tight plot line. It's just all over the place. Like, does that make sense? Where it doesn't feel like it doesn't just go off the rails completely. Like you, I knew, I was like, okay, I'm following these characters. And of course, again, that's the same game with Labyrinth, where it's like, yeah, of course this would happen.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. No,
like, it all makes sense. And I just mean, like, visually, like, watching it, like, the things that are happening in the background, like, everything like that. I feel like that would scratch a very nice itch under those conditions.
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't mean to say that that was in any way incorrect, because yeah, it absolutely does, because it is hilarious. It is wonderful. It is not 2D. I mean, that's...
It is not 2D. It is a claymation. I also want to say that we opened this episode with a bit of going, oh no, and just wanted to explain that this movie was in Belgian, but Indian said very frequently, like, oh no, yeah, when something bad happened, and it was just very funny and very dramatic in English, so it's like the only thing we could latch on to.
It's hard to say. Like, I feel like I can get kind of close, and you sounded close, and like, but there's just something certain, like, I don't know if you've experienced this, like, I have yet to nail it personally. I don't feel like,
yeah,
but it is.
I feel like it's like a nasal thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh no, like, it's, I don't know, it's,
but it's
weird.
It's like drawn out but quick.
Yes, yes.
Like, anyway. I don't know, like, it's so hard.
It's so good, though. I, again, cannot recommend it enough. Now, as far as if it was something that you wanted to show to a younger audience, I personally would, there's nothing in this that I wouldn't show anybody.
Yeah. Recommended for all ages, all interests.
Yeah. You get a couple of, I think, a few dams, a bastard.
But again, it's in Belgian, so I mean.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I guess your kid would probably need to be old enough to read.
Or if. Is there an English dub?
Oh, yeah, there is an English dub. That was okay. Another thing I watched was very strange, is like some of the dubs that I had seen for this were with weird voice choices. Like I saw in one of the dubs, Horse, because like in this one, he's got a, just kind of a very low voice that he just, mm-hmm. his horse that he talks. But in the dub that I had watched, he kind of had a bit of a, like a, like a twang to him a little bit. And I was just like, that's a weird...
That's a bold character choice.
Bold choice. Bold choice. So we both like this movie.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it. I know that we both watched it with our partners, and as far as I can tell, they both loved it.
Donna loved
Mine
it.
Certainly did.
Good. I thought of Ty a lot while watching this.
Yeah, I like, even watching the first 10 minutes, I was like, yeah, I think this is kind of up his alley. And I was like, hey, I wanted you to watch this with me, but Brandon watched it first and he said you'd really like it. So he sat down and watched it with me, and he was like almost in tears, like cracking up, and he can't stop saying, oh no. Like, we've had a very difficult week and we've been very stressed and very tired, but that boy said, oh no, like every opportunity he could. It's very funny.
It's infectious. It is infectious. I'm excited to get to watch like more of this. Like, I probably will rewatch it, and then I'll probably, I don't know, I'm going to try and find the second one at some point.
Yes.
Well, that's about all. I think that's all I got. I don't know. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on this?
Not really. I don't know. It was good. It was really good. I don't know.
Yeah. I very much, I can't think of anybody I wouldn't recommend it to. And again, I keep talking about it. Like, anytime, like, oh, what have you been watching? I'm like, Town Called Panic. It's been a couple weeks now, but like, I still very much
love
it.
Love it.
Very, very good. What are we watching next month?
We are watching
Scamper the Penguin. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, Skipper, Scamper, Skipper.
I do that every once in a while, and I'm sorry. I should have told you. I don't know. It feels cruel anytime.
No, you're good. I thought you were going to ask me what I've been watching other than this.
Oh, yes.
And so that's what I was prepared to answer, and then you said, what are we watching next month? I was like, oh.
Well, what have you been watching? I'm sorry.
Oh, that's so good. That's good. That's good. So since we last talked, I binged season 3 of You on Netflix. It is one of the only, like, current ongoing series that I am watching. Wild show. Very wild. I don't know if you know anything about it. And then Ty and I are watching Kim's Convenience. So.
Kim's Convenience. What is that one? That one sounds familiar, and
it's about a Canadian, Korean-Canadian family that owns a convenience store and their lives.
Oh.
It's parents and a daughter and a son, And it's very much one of those shows that's like, there's no main character. Like, you see equal parts of all four of them. It's just, it's absolutely adorable. And I think does a good job of showing, like, the ways, like, families have to deal with, like, immigrating, like, from another country. And, like, a lot of Mr. Kim's friends are also, like, other immigrants from other countries. Like, I think there's, like, a man from China and a man from India that he's, like, really good friends with. And they're always, like, comparing their cultures and, like, how that relates to, like, being in Canada. And it's very interesting because they don't have very thick Canadian accents. So you kind of forget they're Canadian and they're like, oh, sorry. And you're like, oh, why did they say it like that? They're like, I don't know, you're talking a boot. And you're like, oh, okay.
So is
sorry, not to make fun of Canadians.
No, rip into them. No. So is it kind of a Modern Family type of thing? Would that be a similar, or is it kind of?
There's no talking to the camera.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's a sitcom, like, for sure.
Gotcha.
There's a cast of characters and there's love triangles and other things, but it's mostly just Mr. and Mrs. Kim being adorable and hilarious and very funny. And boy, I really wish I could remember Mr. Kim's, the actor. I wish I could remember his first name, but he was just cast as Uncle Iroh for Avatar, and it could not be the more perfect casting. Like, you gotta look at this dude because he's perfect for Uncle Iroh, and I'm so excited.
Oh, Paul Sun Hyung Lee.
Yes,
that is a good Uncle Iroh.
Yeah,
nice.
He's a very good actor, and he's very funny. His comedic timing is so on point.
So he plays a character named Appa in Kim's Convenience.
So Appa means father in Korean.
Right. So
he's referred to as Appa, and then mom is Uma.
But isn't that the name of the buffalo?
Yes.
On Avatar.
Yes, it's Appa. But I think it's spelled differently.
It's probably spelled differently. Nikki, they made a Taken TV show.
They made a Taken TV show?
Yeah. 2017 to 2018.
Based off of Liam Neeson's Taken?
Based off of Liam Neeson's Taken. And they got a young Liam Neeson in Clive Standen. But that's not what we're talking about. We'll write on that. Kim's Convenience looks good. And
it's good. Definitely recommend. It has Simu Lee, the new Shang Li, the guy who plays Shang Li in the new Marvel. I think this is where he got pretty popular.
Yeah,
I think. So a really good cast of characters, really good actors is what I meant to say, but also characters are great. And yeah, that's what I've been watching. I was trying to think if there's anything else, and I don't think there is. What have you been watching?
Well, first off, Simu, the he's also in the Taken TV series.
Are you kidding me?
No. He plays Faron, at least in one portion.
Fuck.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, anyways, the whole thing is that he's very handsome and attractive, and his character is very handsome and attractive. And so that's the whole thing. They're like, oh yeah, he's really attractive, but he's stupid. Like, whatever. Like, yeah, it's funny. Gotcha. They play into that.
He was also in the Centuries music video for Fall Out Boy.
Was he?
Apparently, yeah. He is Pete Wentz's gladiator. Anyway, this is not what this show's about. We'll circle back.
I was wearing a Fall Out Boy beanie like an hour ago.
Well, yeah.
Anyways, what were you watching, Brandon?
Oh man. The only things I feel like that I've been watching have been for podcasts. So for the Okie Okie Show, the podcast that Don and I do together, for November, we watched Ghost in the Shell, which is an animated movie.
Nice, not the white person version.
So it's interesting. We did watch the 2017 remake, And it's actually, that's not what, it's not a great movie, but it's not actually very whitewashing as much as people think it is. It has a pretty, it's not the same movie. Like that's the thing. It's one of those things where you're like, oh, this is just kind of something that has the same title and working in the same universe type of thing.
Gotcha.
But it explains it away in a way that really makes sense. Not a great movie still. I didn't like it much, but it wasn't because of that. Just weird. It's a weird thing. Anyway, watch that. It's interesting because that was an anime that like I wanted to very much like, the 1995 animated film. And man, it was just it's just not my cup of tea. I don't know. I know there's a huge following for it and everything. But watch Akira instead.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks.
That's really it. That's been the main thing as far as animated stuff, especially. I watched Kamikaze Girls again, which is
nice.
One of my favorite. Highly recommend. One of my favorite movies. I can confirm after a second watch. You know, when you watch
still
a movie.
Still your favorite movies.
Yeah, it's like probably top five. It may be top three. I think that's going to be it. Like we said, we're watching Scamper the Penguin next month.
Scamper the Penguin, which I don't think either of us know anything about. This was a recommendation from a dear friend.
And hold on. I got to come clean. I do know a little bit about it.
Brandon, did you lie to me?
It's about penguins.
Brandon. Well.
And obviously. I don't know anything about the story. So it's still.
But there's a penguin named Scamper. I know.
Hopefully. But
what a plot twist if it has nothing to do with penguins.
We will our next episode will be the last one of 2021, meaning we will have a 2022 list coming out. So we have had a couple of people submit suggestions for movies to watch in 2022. But if you would like to submit one, send one to us by whatever means necessary before the end of November.
You can contact us at Twitter or Instagram or our Gmail. Everything is 2D or not 2D cast.
Yes. So reach out to us with any movie suggestions, and we will consider them, and then maybe we'll talk about that movie.
Maybe we'll watch it and talk about it.
Who knows? But yeah, let us know before the end of the month, and that way on our next episode we can go through our list and announce them so you can get ready for 2022.
It's still crazy to hear that it's about to be 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say it's one too many twos.
I agree.
After my Chad Kroeger impression, I think I need to see myself out. Well, thank you for doing this, Nikki. My name's Brandon.
My name's Nikki. Thanks for doing this, Brandon.
You know how doing podcasting with me is.
It's good. It's good. I just, you know, you kind of like backed me into a corner where I had to either be rude or just leave.
I know. I'm sorry. Anyway.
No, you're fine.
If I was more on my game, I would be able to then comedically back you into a corner, but I'm not, so you are free to go. Help Nikki in the podcast like you always do, because I can't. I don't know why. Help me in this.
I think it's just because you like to talk is the thing.
I think I just like talking to you. I think that's it. I can remember the podcast.
The crazy thing is I don't think you realize like we're probably going to talk more after we stop recording is the thing. Anyways, in next time.
In next time. That was perfectly sunk.
So good.